Recently, I talked about the natural law of gravity and a spiritual parallel. Today, I want to talk about some other laws in physics: entropy, attrition, and the law of diminishing returns. These laws also have spiritual parallels. The second law of thermodynamics is called entropy. It states that when energy changes from one form to another, or matter moves freely, disorder increases. The purely natural tendency of things is to move toward chaos, not order. And available energy necessary for work is lost in this process. Eventually, the universe will run down, and all life and motion will cease, because all of the energy that exists will be more or less evenly distributed so that no work can be performed and no life can exist. This is the natural tendency of all things. Batteries run down, machines wear out, buildings crumble, roads decay. Prolonged immobility produces muscle atrophy. A fireplace burns out if no wood is added. Plants die without water. All things eventually die. Left to the natural state, all things eventually cease to function. That's entropy. The Bible addresses entropy when it says, "The sky will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment. All its inhabitants will die. Lord, in the beginning you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment, and like a robe you will roll them up. Like a garment they will also be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a loud noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in it shall be burned up." I believe that entropy began when Adam fell, and God said to him, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat from it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you. You shall eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your face, and you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Adam already had the job of cultivating the garden. What changed was that it involved toil. I think toil is what we call stress, or the wear and tear of everyday life. In the early chapters of Genesis, people lived for hundreds of years. Adam lived for 930 years. Methuselah holds the record at 969 years. Right before the great flood, the Lord said, "My spirit will not remain with man forever, because he is also flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. By the time of the Psalms, we are told, the years of our life are 70, and if we are strong, 80. And the best of them is toil and sorrow, for they soon end, and we are gone. Sin has taken its toll on the human condition and the ecology. The gene pool had become diluted, and the environment polluted. The worldwide aquatic catastrophe had a profound effect on all life. Prior to the flood, there was no rain. Instead, a mist used to rise from the ground and water the earth. Whatever that system was, the atmosphere was radically different. Many people have speculated that there was a hydrosphere that enveloped the earth. This would have likely filtered out harmful ultraviolet rays and prolonged life. It is likely that a hydrosphere would have increased the atmospheric pressure, which is the basis of hyperbaric medicine. But there is also spiritual entropy. The angel in Revelation has this to say to the church in Ephesus: "I have this against you, that you have left your first love. What happened to the believers in Ephesus? Jesus warned that in the end times, many will fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will rise up and mislead many people. And because lawlessness has increased, many people's love will become cold. In the parable of the sower, the seed sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word. But the worries of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. If we are not careful, the wear and tear of everyday life and the cares of this world will take its toll. To safeguard against this, we must pray. We must keep our noses in the Word, and we must stay in fellowship with other believers. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away with its lusts, but the one who does the will of God continues forever. Attrition is weakening or wearing down. It is used in military terms to describe the wearing down of the enemy's armies. If you ever played the board game Risk, you understand this concept. In business, it is used to describe the turnover of human resources. Employees leave for better pay, better benefits, and some other desirable conditions. This year's Daytona 500 began with 40 cars. By the time engines failed and drivers crashed, only 23 were still running, and only 17 were on the lead lap. They called it attrition. There is spiritual attrition. We battle an enemy who is constantly trying to wear us out. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Psalm 55 says, I am restless in my complaint and severely distracted because the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they hold a grudge against me. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around her walls, and evil and harm are in her midst. Destruction is in her midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from her streets. Wow, sounds like some cities in America today. When you are under attack, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. When the enemy declares resistance is futile, the captain commands, shields up. If we are not careful, we can follow a digression from wellness to weariness, to weakness, to wickedness. Romans 2 says, God will repay each person according to his deeds. To those who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. 2 Corinthians 4 says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Therefore we do not lose heart, for though the outer person is decaying, yet our inner person is being renewed day by day. And Galatians 6 says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. When Jesus rose from prayer in the garden, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you do not come into temptation. Their weariness became weakness, and they were in danger of their weakness becoming wickedness. James warns, each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then, when lust conceives, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it has run its course, brings forth death. But there is hope for the weary. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am meek and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Diminishing returns is defined as the rate of yield that beyond a certain point fails to increase in proportion to additional investments of capital and labor. A point will eventually be reached at which additions of the input yield progressively smaller and diminishing increases in output. The rate of profit from that investment, after a certain point, cannot continue to increase if other variables remained at a constant. As investment continues past that point, the rate of return begins to decrease. I had a friend who was an excellent skier. In fact, he gave lessons. He described what he called becoming velocitized, that is, a person would need steeper and faster runs to ski. When moguls lost their challenge, they would ski trees. Once you go down double diamonds, bunny runs just don't cut it anymore. I believe the pleasures of this world operate the same way. Remember the song Kicks by Paul Revere and the Raiders? Well, there's nothing that you ain't tried to fill the emptiness inside, but when you come back down, girl, still ain't feeling right. And don't it seem like kicks just keep getting harder to find, and your kicks ain't bringing you peace of mind? Before you find out it's too late, girl, you better get straight. According to the National Institute on Drug Abuse, by the time kids are in the 12th grade, nearly half of them have tried marijuana. Over half have tried cigarettes, and three-quarters of them have tried alcohol. Marijuana, cigarettes, and alcohol, though legal in many places, are the gateway drugs of our society today. When young people experiment with cigarettes, alcohol, and marijuana, it often opens doors or gateways to stronger, more dangerous drugs and to risky situations where these drugs are readily available. When a person tries one drug, statistics show that he or she will try another drug, and that the other drug will be stronger, more powerful, and more addictive than the last. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration state that adolescent cigarette smokers are 100 times more likely to smoke marijuana and are more likely to use illicit drugs such as cocaine and heroin in the future than young people who do not smoke. Of those teenagers who use marijuana 3 to 10 times, 20% go on to use cocaine. Of those who use marijuana 100 or more times, 75% go on to use cocaine. Research in the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry shows marijuana smokers who initiated use before 17 have up to 6 times greater chance of developing dependence on marijuana, alcohol, or other drugs. The National Institute on Drug Abuse notes, teens who are heavy drinkers or consume at least 5 drinks on 5 occasions over 30 days are 12 times more likely to use illegal drugs than those who do not drink. Research conducted at Columbia University's National Center on Addiction and Substance Abuse, as reported by Drug Watch International, finds that nearly 90% of cocaine users had first smoked tobacco, drank alcohol, or used marijuana. The same patterns are true in many addictive behaviors, like gambling and sexual addiction. It just takes more frequent and more intense activity to get the same rush. That is diminishing returns. There is a spiritual side to this. Ecclesiastes 1 says, all things are wearisome. No one can tell it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. And in chapter 5, One who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor one who loves abundance with its income. This, too, is futility. When good things increase, those who consume them increase. So what is the advantage to the owners except to look at them? The sleep of the laborer is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich person does not allow him to sleep. Proverbs 27. Hell and destruction are never full. Likewise, the eyes of man are never satisfied. Jesus said to the woman at the well, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty. The water I give him will become a fountain of water springing up to eternal life." Romans 1 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of people who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, that is, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, being understood by what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculation, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible mankind, of birds, four-footed animals, and crawling creatures." Do you see the degradation there? 1 Timothy says, "Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Allegedly, when Rockefeller was asked how much money is enough, he said, "Just a little bit more." 2 Timothy mentions people who are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Sounds like our education system today. James 4 says, "You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend what you request on your pleasures." Blaise Pascal rightly stated, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of man, which cannot be satisfied with any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ." But we have hope. 1 Peter 1 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." When you find yourself wearing out, when the enemy is unrelenting in his campaign against you, when the pleasures of this world no longer satisfy you, get on your knees, cry out to the Lord, ask him to restore you, ask him to sustain you, ask him to fill the void in your heart. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept complete, without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will do it. This is Jim Barrier on Since You Asked.